morning to you all, and welcome to first quarter result presentation for Agos Group. All lines have been placed on silent mode in order to avoid any background noise. After the presenter's comments, there's going to be a Q&A session. If you want to ask a question in that given moment, please press star followed by one. Now, let me hand the word to Natalia Agudelo, who is Director of Investor Relations. Good morning to you all. I'm Natalia Agudelo. I'm Director for Investor Relations. We want to thank you for your participation in this call. We will be going over Agos Group results for the first quarter 2017. With me, we have Jorge Mario Velázquez, who is President of the Agos Group, Alejandro Piedrahita, who is Vice President of Corporate Finances, Maracela Dicisaba, who is the Manager for the Real Estate Business, and Rafael Oliveira, who is Vice President of Corporate Matters. The conference is being translated into English simultaneously. I'm reminded that the reports for relevant information and presentations are published in English and Spanish in our webpage, www.grupoagos.com. At this same webpage, we have made available the presentation that we will be following during this conference. To upload it, please go into the financial information section, and afterwards into the report section, we will find the first quarter a file called Presentación 1T2017. I want to invite you to check the presentation starting on slide number 3. Let me give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Agos Group. Thank you, Natalia, and good morning to every single one of you. For me, it's a pleasure, together with the rest of the officials of the organization, sharing with you all the results of this first quarter 2017. I would begin by stating that 2016 it was a very important year for us in the consolidation of a balanced and broad portfolio, but at the same time, completely focused in infrastructure. Today, when we present the results for the first quarter 2017, we can assure that the strategy that we've adopted in terms of efficient capital allocation begins capturing benefits, with increases in the profitability of the operation at a consolidated level. In such way, we're closing a quarter with an EBITDA margin close to a 26%, which represents around 200 basic points over what we recorded on the same quarter last year, and with a net profit from the controller that grows around a 14%. We believe that the portfolio that we have consolidated to the moment, which with assets that are close to 47 trillion pesos, is firmly prepared to advance and capture the growth opportunities, present and future growth opportunities that our markets present. Today, Agos Cement becomes the main concrete and cement vendor for the 4G generator projects in Colombia, with participation in functional units that have been allocated of 72% and 53% respectively. Likewise, with the investments that have been done in previous years, we've become one of the most important players in the United States to capture those great growth possibilities that this market offers and will offer towards the future in terms of the American infrastructure reconstruction that has already been announced. The solar farm in Jumbo from Celsia and the first solar roof that has been installed in a shopping center, Celsia becomes a pioneer in non-conventional energies and clean energies, leading the forefront in a rapidly changing sector. Odensa has delivered in this first quarter the first functional unit within the country for the infrastructure plan, fourth generation infrastructure plan, which belongs to La Pintada concession. At the same time, Opaín continues advancing in the voluntary works of the El Dorado Airport and is actually delivering 6 new contact positions in El Dorado Airport, works with which our group shows and restates the commitment that we have in favor of competitiveness and development in the country. After the adapted strategy with the Dinsendo Paimspe consolidation, the holding gained strength in the infrastructure sector. We are completely optimistic towards the future, not just in Colombia, but also in all the region we were present in. The incorporation of this new pillar begins showing fruitful results at a portfolio level that, as it can be observed on slide number 5, has presented growth of over 15% at a market price when it's compared with the same quarter previous year. Currently, we can say that we are one of the most relevant infrastructure business groups in Latin America, and with a very important presence in one of our businesses in the United States. With assets under administration that exceed 47 trillion Colombian pesos, we are focused on cement concessions, energy, and real estate development. It's a portfolio that's completely articulated and balanced in terms of geographies, currencies, and sectors. That during the quarter, this first quarter starts showing results profit-wise, as it's shown by the 2% improvement in a consolidated EBITDA margin. Actually, this is a topic that we will be drilling down further on during our conference. Up next, I want to invite you to check financial results, consolidated financial results that you will be able to find between slides 6 and 9. For the first quarter of this year, results at a consolidated level confirm the positive dynamic that the concessions and energy businesses have shown, which reflect in a 200 basis points growth in the consolidated EBITDA margin and in a 14% of the net profit of the controller. Consolidated profit or income for Argos Group during the first trimester of 2017 reached 3.4 trillion Colombian pesos, which represents a reduction of 17% if we compare it with the first quarter in 2016. This reduction is mainly explained due to the lower contribution, slower contribution of around 620 billion Colombian pesos. In this same period from previous year, the company was going through a anemic condition where stock prices were high and there was a significant contribution in thermal energy generation, which is a completely different situation if we compare it with the first quarter 2017, where there's lower stock prices, where there's a lower contribution in thermal energy production and a higher contribution of hydraulic energy. Because of this, there's a lower cost in generation, which are reflected in a positive effect over the consolidated EBITDA. This means, in other words, the lower incomes in Celsius is done with replaced energy with a larger hydraulic generation base, and because of this, there's a better profit level. In terms of income, there's also a smaller contribution from Argos Cements, which still faces a very competitive dynamic in Colombia, with lower cement prices added to a climatic current situation and a peso reevaluation effect that obviously affects income. So we want to highlight that the company has advanced in its competitive strategy, positioning itself as the Colombia's market leader compared with the results that we had in previous year. Here we can see notorious advancements in the participation in different regions within the country. Up to March, the company has a participation that's close to a 45% of the Colombian market. From another side, in the concrete business, there is also a very interesting dynamic happening, which allows the participation growth of Cementos Argos, which is close to a 43% in this case. counterbalancing the effect in incomes. And as a result, as a portfolio strategy, we want to highlight the positive contribution from the concession business for 139 billion Colombian pesos. That includes the offline consolidation starting from February 2017 and its corresponding adjustment at a reasonable value. Consolidated EBITDA between January and March was close to 855 billion Colombian pesos for an EBITDA margin of 26%. This means 200 basis points over the generated EBITDA within the same quarter last year, which is aligned with the profitabilization strategy of the portfolio. This increase in the EBITDA margin is supported in a higher profitability associated to the energy business, which shows a margin of 33% this year versus 20% previous year. Also, a better profitability in the concession business, which shows a profit of 78% compared with 55% of EBITDA margin from last year. These two businesses help to counterbalance the effects of smaller margins within the cement business in Colombia. That is the actual strength that a holding such as ours has, which is connected with infrastructure businesses, which present different cycles and different competitive characteristics which complement each other. Finally, the net profit was close to 145 billion Colombian pesos. This drop is explained to an increase in financial expense after a larger debt that was acquired after ADN BTA, which is actually a bridge credit for Cementos Argos, and other effects, punctual effects, which are not recurrent that we will be explaining further on. In contrast with previous results, we want to highlight that net profit for the controller was close to 121 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 14% in respect with the results of that same period from previous year. On slide number nine, you can find the consolidated general balance for March 2017. At the end of this period, assets were around 47 billion Colombian pesos, growing 40% compared with the same value that we have for 2016. Assets, liabilities, sorry, were close to 23 trillion Colombian pesos, and equity was around 24 trillion Colombian pesos. Now, I want to invite you to go to slide number 10. Up to March 2017, separated incomes for Argos Group, which were in total 176 billion Colombian pesos, representing a 9% increase year after year due to the contribution of Ordenza and ELSA due to the incomes due to the participation method. The first one, after a larger participation of Argos Group in Ordenza, which reached a 98.6%, and the consolidation, simultaneous consolidation of ADN and BTA, and secondly, after the positive results of the energy business derived from better water conditions. As a consequence, separated EBITDA was located in 124 billion Colombian pesos, presenting an increase of 13% for an EBITDA margin of 71%, growing 300 basis points compared with the same quarter previous year. At this point, we also want to highlight the effort that the holding has done in the reduction of their operational expenses that, excluding the real estate business, presented a 26% reduction, which is equal to 6 billion Colombian pesos. This is a clear signal of the efficient work that we have planned and have been executing as organization. Net profit for the quarter was 87 billion Colombian pesos, presenting an increase of 3% year after year. Concerning the net margin, this reduction is explained with the record in the first quarter 2016, where there was an accounting gain of 10 billion Colombian pesos due to a price of financial instruments that have been associated to Surpreferencial stocks that were sold during the second quarter last year. On slide number 11, you can find the distribution of the separated general balance for Argos Group. At the close of this quarter that we are analyzing at the end of March, assets added 17 trillion Colombian pesos, assets 2 trillion Colombian pesos, and the equity was equal to 15 trillion Colombian pesos. Now, I want to invite you to go over the separate indebtedness of the holding. This can be found on slide 12. Up to March 2017, debt was close to 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 2% in respect to the one that was recorded the same quarter last year. This increase is explained due to a bridge credit that was taken for the first disbursement of Opaín acquisition that will be financed with the asset sale. The debt over EBITDA indicator that has been adjusted for the end of the quarter is 3.1% under the reasonable value that we have set, 3.5 times, which is maintained still within the acceptable limits. This shows how solid we are in terms of the market and the rating agencies. The relations between the operational cash flow and interest show an average of 2.9 times, also over those minimum levels that have been recommended. Under the same line, we also want to highlight the dividends that have been decreed, the dividend increase that have been decreed in 2017 that Argos Group will be receiving as a holding, which represent an increase over 74% compared with the dividends that were received in 2016. That number will reach a number around 265 billion Colombian pesos this year if we compare it with 256 billion Colombian pesos that we had previous year. We also want to highlight that the dividend profile is also adequately distributed through time, as you might observe in the bottom right part of this slide. The cost of the debt up to the date is 8.9%, which has been dropping under 10.1%, which was recorded during the first quarter previous year, aligned with better macroeconomic conditions that we face, which has had an effect over the inflation with a clear dropping trend, which actually benefits the cost of the debt that our company has. Our debt, as it has been previously mentioned, has a very large variable component, which is close to 55%, which is linked to the index consumer prices, 43%, which is linked to the IBR, and 2% linked to fixed rate. This indexation strategy also obeys to the fact that our businesses reflect within their results a similar hedging in terms of income. As a proof of the solvency that our business group has, it is great to share with you the decision that has been adopted by the BRC Investor Services that was actually published last week, and where the AA+ rating was confirmed for our company. Besides that rating, it is even better to see how the growth strategy that we have adopted is giving its fruits, and it's being recognized by rating companies, which highlight that for 2016, we had increased the leveraging reduction expectations that we had after an ambitious disinvestment and investment plan that we have been simultaneously executing. We also want to highlight that we will keep on working under the premise of consolidating an articulated and focused portfolio in the infrastructure sector, given that we count with the flexibility to keep on financing our plans with resources different from debt, and at the same time generating a notorious increase in our own resource generations in order to defend the same growth and leveraging that we require in order to potentialize the investments of our investors. Now let me invite you to move on to the operational businesses of the company: cement, energy, concessions, real estate, and ports, for which I will be speaking about the main strategic advancement that each one of these businesses has shown in order to complement not just the information that you have, the detailed information that you have from that first quarter results, but at the same time, in the presentations that have been revealed to the market by each one of these organizations. Beginning by the cement business that you can find on slide number 14, we want to highlight that the company has become the leader for functional unit allocation for a fourth generation program with a 72% participation in the cement demand and a 53% participation in concrete demand for all those functional units that are part of this 4G program. Up to date, there has been a large-scale hauling for the Puerto Honda Salgar. This is a bridge that's being led by Argos Group, with that's actually one of the first works for this 4G program. This sends a very positive signal to the market in terms of a formal beginning of massive consumption concrete for 4G projects, program that we have already been attending and that will be increasing the consumption of our products given the fruitful results that we have shown in the rest of the functional units. I would also like to take a moment to speak about the advancements that the company has made in terms of its efficiency program that's better known as BEST. Up to the date, the program has allowed to reduce sales and administrative expenses up to a 7%. And the effective cost of cement production close to $3 per ton in Colombia. At the same time, the concrete business has gained efficiencies that are close to 5 billion Colombian pesos, increasing margins close to 250 basis points. The company maintains its EBITDA budget for the end of this year between 1.8 and 1.9 trillion Colombian pesos and has adopted additional benefits, anticipating savings close to 120 billion Colombian pesos, which are equal to $6 per ton for the rest of this year, 2017. The BEST program is without no doubt an effort to optimize the use of our assets and at the same time achieving a better profitability of the operations. Moving on to volumes that you might find on slide 15, we want to highlight that cement dispatches at a consolidated level increased in 12%. This means that they increased to 12% in all the regions where the company operates. This increase is driven by the United States operation, which has shown an increase of 43%. If we exclude the 40% effect of the Martinsburg purchase, the organic growth is around a 14%, which means that we have overcome the increase that the American market has shown. In Colombia, there was a growth greater than a 10%, where the demand, where the cement demand was the same between both periods. We also want to highlight how the commercial strategy, how the value proposal of the logistics structure and the capacity of adapting to the Colombian regional market allowed the company to consolidate itself as the main player in the Colombian market. Concerning the results that we can find on slide number 16, this reinforced a competitive dynamic in Colombia and a very marked seasonality in Colombia, in the United States, sorry, which is explained by the winter that we faced during this fourth quarter 2017. In the measure that warmer weather comes in, 90% of the dispatches that have been budgeted for this year will happen during the next three quarters. In such way, the income of the cement operation were 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos with a reduction of a 6%, which have been affected by lower prices in Colombia and a very natural seasonal dynamic found within the United States. We also want to highlight the income that we had in the U.S. region tend to present a lower performance given to specific effects such as the Stella storm. But after the Martinsburg operations began, it becomes much more acute for the company, given that this company is located much more towards the north of the United States. Anyway, it's important to highlight that this region was the one that contributed the most in terms of incomes in the P&L of Argo Cements, with close to a 51% of the total income. As well as in this point, the consolidated EBITDA was affected by the competitive dynamic in Colombia and seasonality in the United States, locating itself in 274 billion Colombian pesos. We also want to highlight that the EBITDA level for the United States region is found within the budget, and as it was mentioned before, close to a 90% of this will be generated starting from second quarter this year. In Colombia, besides the stability conditions that we're facing, EBITDA was also affected due to two downtimes, program downtimes that we have in Rio Claro and Cartagena plants, due to not recurring expenses of around 15 billion Colombian pesos, which are related with personnel being relocated due to the PEST program. It's to compensate, basically, to compensations. We also want to highlight the degeneration of around 144 billion Colombian pesos, a bit the widest, in the Central American and Caribbean region, which obtained a margin of 31.4% in EBITDA, being the region that contributed the most in terms of EBITDA in this specific quarter. Bearing in mind the challenges that we face in the cement business, we visualize favorable conditions towards the recovery of the Colombian market, towards the consolidation of our presence in the Central American market, and to the great growth opportunities that the United States economy show, where we are strengthening our position through the Martinsburg plant acquisition in the West Virginia state in 2016. Now, let's move on to the energy results that we can find between slides 18 and 20. And during last year, Celsia has hardly worked to recover the company's results, managing its risks and adapting itself to the challenges that were imposed by climate conditions. operational conditions and industrial conditions. Today, we see once again a company with normalized margins and a strengthened company ready to face upcoming years. Ilfeer continues fighting for that commitment that we established, making the sector much more dynamic in Colombia, driving non-conventional energies and expanding its energy distribution at a national level. The Serantia Solar Farm, located in Yumbo, the first solar roof placed in a shopping mall, and the advancement in Plan Cinco Caribe place Serantia as a dynamic and key actor in the Colombian market. The consolidated generation reached 1,487 gigawatt hour in this first quarter, and 32% under what was recorded in the same quarter this year. Production, as we mentioned initially, is explained due to a smaller, due to lower production of thermal plants associated to the Niño phenomenon that we faced in the first quarter of last year. This production, this thermal generation reduction, allowed a larger participation of hydraulic generation, which has a smaller, lower cost, higher efficiency, and because of this, a better result in terms of margins. Consolidated income for Celsia were close to 742 billion Colombian pesos. It's a smaller number if we compare this with 2016, where as a product of El Niño phenomenon, we had a larger thermal generation at a higher price, higher than what we recorded in 2017, but with a lower profit, as we have already mentioned. But we want to highlight that smaller income participation due to the thermal energy production is compensated with a higher reduction in costs, having an EBITDA of 241 billion Colombian pesos. This is 10% under 2016. This reduction is explained by the decision of provisioning 100% of the AR that we had with Electrocaribe before the intervention of national government. This had to be written off, and this is close to 15 billion Colombian pesos. We want to highlight the good result that the EBITDA margin had, that for this quarter was a 32.5%, higher than 19.6% that was recorded in the same quarter last year. Without the effect of the Electrocaribe's AR account, this would be around a 34.5%. This is a level close to the sort of average margins that we've had in positive contributions for all the businesses. Between January and March 2017, we observe an advancement in the positive net results, which shows a growth of 30 billion Colombian pesos compared with the same quarter 2016, going from a loss of 8 billion last year to a profit close to 22 billion this year, which is a 376% increase. Parallel to the favorable results that we have already mentioned, I want to highlight the work that Celsia has done in the last 15 years to reduce the leverage indicated that debt over EBITDA, that 3.3% at the 3.3 times at the end of this quarter, compared with 5.1 times that we had at the end of 2015. The disciplined administration of the resources done by the business in the different geographies and locations has allowed for the company to rapidly accelerate in terms of this indicator. Since the end of 2015, the indebtedness indicator has dropped close to 400 billion Colombian pesos. Now let's move on to the concession business results. This can be found between slides 22 and 24. Odinsa, as part of its strategic alignment policy towards the airport and road construction segment continues advancing in its disinvestment program in non-strategic assets and consolidating its participation in those projects that are of most interest. In this first quarter for 2017, the Pacifico generator in Chile was closed and keeps on advancing in the disinvestment in the Panama Sena generator and in the road concession in Colombia, known as Santa Marta Paraguachon section. At the same time, the company delivered the first functional unit for the 4G program, which belongs to the Pintana concession. This is a very important milestone supporting the ambitious infrastructure program that we have in Colombia and reiterating the commitment that we have. At an operational level, Pintana records for the first quarter of this year stable levels of vehicle traffic and passenger traffic. Road concessions record more than 6.8 million vehicles, while airport concessions record around 9 billion passengers in the first quarter of 2017. We want to highlight the traffic of El Dorado Airport that reaches 7.8 million passengers in this first quarter, confirming itself as the third most important airport in Latin America. Reason why they want to increase their air traffic in 2.5 times in the next 10 years. Before moving on to Odessa's financial results, it's important to bear in mind that this differs from the ones that have been reflected in the Argos Group accounting. This is given to the adjustments done at a reasonable value after the acquisition of OPAIN, Autopista del Nordeste, and Boulevard Turístico del Atlántico, and also the reclassification of the non-current assets such as Hempac and Kena, given to the disinvestment plan that was being followed. All these adjustments have a very important effect that even though it's a positive effect, it's not recurrent. That's why we need to carefully analyze and purge in order to properly understand them. At the same time, an adjustment was done to the 2016 results in order to deconsolidate HENA and Compact that were taken as discontinuous operations in the last quarter of 2016, given that they were in disinvestment processes, as I have already mentioned, giving comparability to results from 2017 and 2016. In terms of income, Odinsa at a consolidated level recorded 174 billion Colombian pesos. This represents a drop of 8% year after year, which is mainly explained by a reduction in the construction volume, the construction termination volume in the collection toll contract in India at the end of 2016. We want to highlight how the purging of the portfolio that has been carefully executed by Argos Group has allowed the company to have a solid cash generation in terms of the assets that they operate. And actually, at the end of the first quarter, they contributed to 135 billion Colombian pesos for a growth of 31% in respect to the first quarter of the previous year and an EBITDA margin of 78%, the highest one in the history of the company. Now, I want to invite you to go over the results of the real estate business between slides 26 and 27. We want to highlight as a very important fact that in April, the Situm and Grupo Argos merge was approved. This is an action that's aligned with our administrative and operational efficiency generation strategy. not doubling administration efforts. In addition, we also want to highlight that for year 2017, this AgriFood division maintains very positive perspectives in the sale of lots, as part of us is it's this investment strategy focusing on value generation. Up to March, we had a cash flow of 36 billion Colombian pesos, which corresponds to previous businesses in respect with the first quarter of 2016. It is also important to note that for this quarter, first quarter 2017, the transfer of lots has not been formalized. Because of this, there's no accounting effect for this quarter. In terms of the real estate business, we want to highlight that we began operating the private capital fund, which is called Patria Inmobiliario, that with the contribution of 165 billion Colombian pesos for Perfección, we consolidate this with an equity of 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos. At the same time, the acquisition of the other 50% of the Ancada shopping mall was announced, which allows an increase of our gross rentable area up to 16,000 square meters. And there was also an investment, a real estate investment done in the United States towards the future. In the first quarter of 2017, the rentable area of Partia was close to 516,000 square meters, which showed an increase of 19% compared with the previous year. The assets under administration added 2.5 trillion Colombian pesos and represented gross operational incomes close to 50 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 12% year after year with a consolidated EBITDA of 28 billion Colombian pesos and a consequent margin of a 62%. To briefly go over the port business, I want to invite you to slides 29 and 30, where I would highlight this first quarter was very important for the port business, especially due to the materialization of the Agua Dulce port in Buenaventura, which started operating with an investment of more than $120 million, becoming one of the most modern platforms on the Pacific coast. So Compass strengthens its port positions in the Atlantic and the Pacific coast, consolidating itself as a relevant key player in the port business. Total cargo managed during the first quarter presents an increase of 17%, reaching 1.2 million tons, including convertibility of containers and loose cargo. This increase is given mainly to the Agua Dulce port and to a notorious increase in the operations of Tolu and Cartagena ports. In terms of financial results, consolidated income were of 38 billion Colombian pesos, from which Agua Dulce port contributed close to 8 billion Colombian pesos after it began operations. The consolidated EBITDA was 16 billion Colombian pesos without any substantial variations if we compare this with the first quarter last year. Before moving on to the Q&A session, I'd just like to end by emphasizing that the obtained results for this quarter show us the importance of the consistent implementation of a clear long-term strategy which contemplates permanent investment in different sectors in order to increase our organic growth, our competitive position, and the continuous generation of efficiencies, synergies, and operational savings at all the levels and at the holding, which is proven to be an active holding which promotes maximization of the value of our different businesses and a clear, efficient capital allocation within the businesses. First trimester for 2017 presents elements that make difficult comparing between both years due to changes in incomes, which translate into better benefit in the energy business, or as differences due to drop in the real estate business, or differences also in the port operations between one period and the other. In the EBITDA aspect, it's also important to highlight the strength and balance that the different businesses contribute in order to keep this long-term vision that we have. With that long-term vision that we have, we perceive the development of 2017 as a fruitful year. We see this year as a year of optimism. We're recovering our energy production. We're growing in vehicle traffic and passenger traffic with a notorious increase in the cement volumes that have been dispatched, not just in Colombia, but also in the United States, which is translated in better positions in all those markets that we compete in. Our actual results confirm that the infrastructure, as a central connector of the Argos Group investments, translates into a mix of industries and geographies, which translate into healthy equilibriums and also leverage those different cycles that different businesses might face. Finally, I want to reiterate the commitment that this organization has towards the competitiveness of the country, for what Grupo Argos is prepared to support the development and challenges that in terms of infrastructure we might face with the 4G project. We will also focus in renewable energy production and keep on investing and believing in our country. So with optimism, we do see that the rest of 2017 might be a very potential year where we will be able to generate high value for our shareholders. Now I want to invite you to the Q&A session that we will be listening carefully. So I'd like to ask for the operator if you can please begin Q&A session. I just want to remember, if you want to ask a question, press star followed by one. Star one if you have any questions. The first question comes from Catherine Ortiz from Corredores de Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for the financial results that you have presented for this quarter. I'd like to ask a question, and that is, if you look at the quarter's cash in the separated financial results, Argos Group had a cash close to 5 billion Colombian pesos. It's a very reduced amount. The amount is very reduced. In terms of dividends flows, well, my question would be, first of all, the SURA dividends would have been received in stocks, I guess. So how do you see the behavior of the petty cash flows in the future, and if this has any complication in terms of liquidity for the group? Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for your question. Let me ask you conceptually. We've been carefully working on this, not just for the quarter results, but also for the yearly results, in order to guarantee financial health of the company's cash. Concerning the concrete question about the preferential Grupo Sura shares, we did receive these as dividends, and through an ETB operation, we monetized them. So the Grupo Sura dividends for April are included in their totality, not in four quarter fees. But with this operation, we monetized the totality of this dividends for April. Equally, as it was mentioned before, the increase of dividends that the holding will receive during the period between March 2017, between April 2017 and March 2018, are close to 465 billion Colombian pesos, which is 80% more than the dividends that we received in the previous year, which were close to 259 billion Colombian pesos. So we're speaking about 200 billion Colombian pesos more that are going to be received by the company this year. This besides other financing sources that the organization has. We also need to highlight, as he was mentioned in the conference, Catherine, that there's no accounting records for the real estate business, given that there we have not made it a condition that we have fixed that 50% of the real estate sales should go into cash in order to proceed to the structuring. But in this period, we don't have those real estate incomes that will be seen after the second quarter, or that we're actually working on right now. The disinvestment pipeline, the real estate disinvestment pipeline for this first quarter, close to 30 billion Colombian pesos. So these are just some comments. I'd like to ask Alejandro Piedrahita if you could maybe broaden a bit more about this, speak more about the midterm and long-term vision that we have cash flow-wise. Well, thank you, Jorge. Just to complement what Jorge Mario previously mentioned, I believe that there are several things that we need to note. Well, first of all, let's remember that the first quarter, effectively, the dividends that we received affected the previous period. Because of this, we had no incomes due to Celsia. This was part of the dividends that were paid last year. And we don't have dividends received by Bancolombia either, nor by Grupo Sura Preferencial. So in a certain way, we have a first quarter that has been affected by the dividend policy and by the portfolio sale of the previous period. But as it was mentioned by Jorge Mario, clearly the dividend increase decisions lead to our cash flow between the received dividend and paid dividend, generate certain excesses which are over 200 billion Colombian pesos. So we need to bear this in mind. Besides this, in the first quarter, let's remember that we have reflected, or we get to see a part of the Opaín's airport purchase, and that was 255 billion Colombian pesos, and that payment was done during the first quarter of this year. And the other thing that's also important to check and bear in mind is that there's a series of tax payments that are done in the first quarter of the year, around 33 billion Colombian pesos, and obviously that has an impact on cash. So there's a series of extraordinary expenses that we went through in this first quarter, which affected cash. But nevertheless, let's remember that the initial cash that we had at the beginning of the year was around 180 billion Colombian pesos. That was precisely for us to prepare for that income that we had to face the first quarter, and we closed with a cash of 4 billion Colombian pesos. So I would remember that one of our objectives is not maintaining large amounts in cash, but just having enough cash, and to make sure that we need them, we could use them efficiently. When we have significant cash excesses as we had last year, where we had 180 billion Colombian pesos. That was basically because we had some specific operations, as it was mentioned before, when we purchased the O'Pines Airport. But I believe that the important thing here to mention is that compared with last year, in dividend-wise, we'll have an increase over 70%, and obviously that, in terms of financial flexibility, is very important. Okay, thank you. Clearly understood. Next question comes from Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Good morning, Dr. Jorge Mario and Alejandro. Thank you for your presentation. I have several questions. First question, can you tell us EBITDA of the holdings in terms of performance for 2016, like in order to exclude Autopista Nordeste and Boulevard Turístico del Atlántico? This sometimes don't allow us to compare results. Second question that I have has to do with capital needs that Odinsa has. We saw that you sold them back for $37 million. I think you have $12 million in cash. During the Odinsa's conference, they said that for the Hena sale, we could be expecting about 35 or 37 million Colombian. $37 million. If we change this into the exchange rate, that would be 55 billion Colombian pesos. So my question is, I know that Odinsa right now is in this dispute with ANDI for the El Meta road concession concerning the capital contributions that they have to be done. So maybe if you can tell us, how is this turning out with ANDI, this dispute? In case this dispute doesn't work out, what financing strategies are you thinking from Odinsa in order to leverage this equity needs that would be close to 16 trillion Colombian pesos? And for Odinsa, with the cash flow that they have and with the disinvestments they've been doing, this would be a bit difficult for them to wrap their hands around. Let me start with the first question. I don't have like a pro form exercise because it is complex and making a pro form between both periods. As I explained previously, Federico, there are multiple elements that are actually natural in these types of holdings with four business sectors and with so many regions and with such a large dynamic where we're acquiring, we're disinvesting, where there's an effective capital rotation. Like having a pro form, because obviously this is a business that's not static, that's constantly changing. So making pro forms between two periods, it's not easy. I want to highlight that there are some large numbers, around 700 billion Colombian pesos, lower incomes, what has to do what I mentioned before, in Celsia case, between others. They are not recurrent expenses and the extraordinary types of expenses or the non-recording of real estate, such as in the real estate businesses, which are close to 111 billion Colombian pesos, which affect the EBITDA and also affect net profit. Those expenses, as it was mentioned during the conference, include hedging the Electricaribe AR. It's a non-recurring expense. 30 billion Colombian pesos that the real estate business had. We had last year, but we don't have this year, or close to 79 billion Colombian pesos that we have in cement. Due to compensations paid due to the best efficiency program, or due to legal cargo paid as the free trade zone in Cartagena, or due to revaluation effect. Exchange revaluation effect between first quarter 2016 and first quarter 2017. So as you can see, it's not easily comparable. First quarter 2016 and first quarter 2017 are not easily comparable. But those effects are around those numbers that I've been mentioning, 700 billion Colombian pesos in income. And we could maybe say that there's around 110 billion Colombian pesos, those one-timers, that not recurring, that affect first quarter of 2017. So if you add 110 billion Colombian pesos to the consolidated profit, you would have a very important growth. That's why I insist that this organization, the comparison that we have between this quarter, offer this natural distortion of an ongoing business. So that's why it's the most important thing is to meet a long-term vision that we have. And as I mentioned before, I am pretty optimistic about the company's position in order to take the growth opportunities that we have towards the future in our different businesses, in our markets. Concerning the second point, I'd like to make two comments without not drilling too much into detail. I guess that this is conference. This could have been more thoroughly explained. But let me explain what the situation of road groups that we have in Elmeta. In Elmeta, agreed with the National Infrastructure Agency in a dispute settlement tribunal was selected, which will be carefully going over how unpredictable the oil prices were, because this is also affecting the oil traffic within several parts of the grid that Meta has. With that dispute settlement tribunal, and with AMI, we have been looking for alternatives that would eventually allow to redimension the project in order to have less works that will make more feasible the execution of this bear down the traffic that we have. And as a measure that oil traffic increases, then we can proceed and build other functional units that are not as necessary right now. I am very optimistic in terms of the reasonability and the arguments that have, the reasons and arguments that have been stated by ODIMSA will be listened by the dispute settlement tribunal and by ANI, in order for us to find a solution that makes sense for all of us. But as you mentioned before, ODIMSA has been carrying out certain disinvestments, HEMPAX disinvestment, HENA disinvestment. There are other disinvestments also, as we mentioned before, Santa Marta Paraguachon, that are pending for approval or are pending for government approvals from ANI, and that will add to that, with which Odinsa will have 220 billion to 250 billion Colombian pesos to attend this commitment. With that, we've guaranteed the flows for the equity realization contributions that we will require for the Meta's road grid and for Pacific Coldos. So there are certain disinvestments that have already been done, not planned, but have already been done in disbursement processes and approval processes that give the ease to ODIMSA in order to proceed with the works that are required. Thank you very much. The next question is asked by Daniel Guardiola, BTG Actual. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. The first question is regarding the airport sector in Colombia, and I'd like to know if you could maybe give us a bit more insight, or what do you think about Azura coming into Colombia with the Airplan and Aeropuertos de Oriente purchase? Maybe I'd like to hear why didn't Argos Group didn't bid for these airports? How could this change the competitive environment? Do you believe this is a risk for the operation or for the traffic of El Dorado Airport? All this is like a question. And my second question is if you could give us a better idea about Ensitem results and why the EBITDA was negative for the first time since the spin-off was done. Thank you. Daniel, it's a pleasure greeting you, of course. Of course, we can divide the question in the following way. Let me start by the second question, just to give a highlight. Effectively, during the first quarter, no properties have been described, so that's why the EBITDA appears the way it does. We, for example, paid for all the non-property taxes for all those lots and lands. That's why the EBITDA appears negatively. Remember that in the real estate business, the P&L situation is different from the cash flow one. Within the quarter, there's a positive cash flow from the businesses that were done before. But afterwards, let me answer Azur, and afterwards I'll give the floor to Maria Clara Vizcizabal. She's with us, and she can better explain which are the perspectives that are coming for the next quarter and for the rest of the year. So in that train of thought, it's a situation that has to do with entering the property documents within the accounting. But in terms of Azur, I would make the following comments. Azur is an extraordinary player, highly recognized. They're listed in a first-level company, very good operational practices. That, besides that, has developed a strategy for airport operations within the region, small, middle-sized, and large-sized airports. They operate at the Cancun Airport and certain important airports in Mexico and the Caribbean region. Us, we didn't bid for the Airplan and Oriente airports. As you might remember, we have the Río Negro Airport, we have Medellín Airport, and we have a series of regional airports. We didn't bid due to several reasons. First and most important reason is because the operation that Argos Group has toward the Ensanopa in El Dorado, it is very important. It is a very large airport, but in this case, didn't generate synergies with the rest of the airports. So for Odinsa and for Opine, it was not synergic, the fact of having a much broader set of airports. Airports in Oriente have the Bucaramanga, Barranca, Cúcuta, Santa Marta, Valledupar, Opine. Besides those airports, oh sorry, Airplan, besides the airports I have previously mentioned, we have the Carepa Airport, we have the Montería Airport, and several more. Several more in southeast and south of Colombia. These are very important airports, that probably for this player, that's a very relevant player, operate in synergies. For Opine and Odinsa, these are mean important synergies. So we consider what Opine and Odinsa is betting on is more concentrated in El Dorado Airport and supporting that growth that El Dorado Airport has. That airport moves 31 million passengers. The Río Negro Airport is close to 7, but the rest of the airports are smaller. Because of this, our bet is supporting, investing, and developing El Dorado Airport as a very important airport that we will require very important investments towards the future. and we didn't find a value, an important value generation for the shareholders, making a merger of both assets. That, from a business point of view, also from an approval point of view, this was not that feasible. The fact that the Colombian authority would approve an acquisition as a player that wouldn't be just attending El Dorado Airport, but the rest of the airports. Let's remember that in Colombia, we have about 50 million passengers in total. And between those three concessions, El Dorado, plus El Oriente concession airports, plus the concessions for José María Córdova Airport and the rest of the airports, there would be a total of 45 million passengers. And that would be a very important increase that, due to regulation effects, could not be approved. So these are the real reasons. Competition is more than welcome. Azul is a very good company, as well as the rest of the players that we have in the other airports of the country. I believe this is good for the country, this is good for the sector, and this organization wants to improve the service, the facilities, the capacity, the vision of El Dorado Airport as one of the most important platforms in Colombia and in Latin America. So we're going to be focusing on that. Are you going to answer the question? Yeah, I just want to complement the question that you were asking me about the real estate business results. Effectively, as it was explained by Jorge, this business will be still a lot. We start seeing an income in the cash flow when the state of results. This does not happen due to our internal policy that we have, a risk internal policy. Like, we don't have the land property documents till 100%. We don't have the until we have 100% of the money. So that's why the transfers of the property document are there, while the associated costs for land taxation we did include in the first quarter. So that's why what you find is a negative result for the first quarter, but obviously will be softened during the year. And actually, for this year, we have very positive perspectives for this year in terms of land property. If we want to finish 10 billion this year, and cash flow, as I said, it's very different. We're waiting around 200 billion. Well, thank you. Just a follow-up question. In what quarter or in what period are you expecting to record those sales that you announced the previous quarter of those 180 hectares? Well, in the cash flow, we have 28 billion every quarter. Yeah, let me do an explanation. In the first quarter, we don't get to see the appraisals of the lots, and these appraisals only happen at the end of the year. So this is something that you might bear in mind within your calculations for the end of 2017. Okay, thank you. Next question from Natalia Segovia from Porvenir. Good morning, Jorge Mario. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I had one question in terms of structure expenses. At a consolidated level, there was an increase of 38%, which is explained by the consolidation of Volpine in February. But I'd like to know if there's something else that we could explain, bearing in mind that the consolidation comes from February. Yes, of course. Of course. When you look at the Argos group, there's a reduction in real terms, in terms of expenses. Once again, periods are not that comparable due to the following reasons. Situm, as a business unit, Did they operate within the Argos group as a product of the merge that we announced some months ago? Because of this, the expenses that the personnel has and the real estate development are merged within Argos group. 1 year ago, they were in a different item that they recorded income, expenses, and costs, and was included in the state's result. And these were actually included under different conditions than the ones that we face right now. So this is one of the elements that doesn't allow this comparison. But there's a reduction in real terms in the holding expense. The holding expense is dropping by 6%, and when we look at this in terms one-to-one, I believe that the easiest thing, and that really I can propose, I can ask the team, if maybe they can send you a chart that shows how these expenses can be compared between one period and the other, and anticipating that there's an effective reduction in the expense level between both. What happens is that comparing both is not exactly the same. Well, it's a bit more difficult to do this on the telephone line, but if you want, we can maybe organize a chart for you, and this way it could be much more easily understood. Well, I can actually complement just with a couple of data that I believe that are very relevant. As you mentioned, the structure expenses are around 376 to 500 billion Colombian pesos. It's a 34% increase, and number-wise, we're speaking of about 135 billion Colombian pesos. Basically, that increase is explained because of two things. First, remember that this year we are consolidated Opain, and Opain was not last year. Opain's expenses for the first quarter 2017 were 115 billion Colombian pesos. So obviously, this makes the expense base, structure expense base, are added for 115 billion Colombian pesos due to the Opain's consolidation, which are not compared with the first quarter of 2016. Secondly, the earnings expenses are also increased, and they go from 55 to 33 billion Colombian pesos, and we're speaking about 20 billion, that difference between 20 billion Colombian pesos is explained by the consolidation of ABN and DTA that were not included in the base of 2016. These are the two more significant increases that we have base-wise, which explain that consolidated increase. But nevertheless, I want to highlight, and as Jorge Maria mentioned, that from the Argos, Grupo Argos point of view, we had an expense reduction compared with the first quarter last year. And the other thing is that cement also presented an expense reduction of around 5%, going from 240 to 227 billion Colombian pesos approximately. So that's where the benefit comes in, and that's why it's so important. That's where we need to include Opain, and we also need to include, in this case, Dimsa, given that they have an ADN and DTA already consolidated. Okay, thank you. That's clear for me. Next question, Carlos Rodriguez, Credit Corp Capital. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for your conference. I have two questions. First question is related to slide number 32. I'd like to understand where are these incomes coming from, 286 billion Colombian pesos, and more specific for Grupo Argos that contribute to a profit of 225 billion Colombian pesos, given that this is the consolidated income for Grupo Argos for this quarter. And the second question has to do with taxes in the state of results, consolidated state of results. I'd like to know why a reduction of the effective rate. Alejandro, maybe if you can answer this question in detail. Well, basically, in the case of Argos Group, we have there in income for ordinary activities. Our income is around 176 billion Colombian pesos, but in that exercise that we show, what we have is the product of what was being generated in a consolidated manner for each one of the businesses. So if you look in more detail Well, for the case of the separated result, what we have there is part of the two things. First, the income that we have for the real estate business, that, as Maria Clara explained, it's an effect that it has an effect, but there's a very important fact here is that we are recording through a participation method, we are including in this case the income, the audience's income, that have a very important effect. We are also including OPAIN, and from another side, we also have a very important delta product wise with everything that happens with Celsia. Celsia is contributing a loss in that case, but in this case, it's generating a profit. And that versus last year leads to a very significant delta because that's going from a participation method, going from red to green. And that, in terms of value, it is very significant. So right now, this would be the end of our Q&A session. I want to give the floor to Jorge Benazquez for him to make his final comments. And thank you for your company, for your presence. I want to reiterate our invitation for those that want to drill deeper in one of the events that we have, or one of the results that we have. The financial team will be more than open to answer any questions that you might have. We are more than available to answer any questions, thoughts, or queries that you might have. So thank you all, and have a nice day. So that'll be the end of today's conference. We want to thank you all for your participation.